Sponsorship of the Be Our Guest podcast is brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. Hey, the fall's a great time to head down to Walt Disney World, and it's not too late to get down to the 2016 Food and Wine Festival. Just drop by themagicforless.com today and fill out that free, no obligation quote, and an agent will get back to you right away, giving you some options. You know, maybe you want to stay in the Epcot area resort. That's a great place to be for food and wine. Or maybe save a little money and go out to the Values or splurge and stay on the monorail loop, whatever. Hey, you want to get to the festival, and they can do that for you right now. So don't waste any time. Drop by themagicforless.com today. Fill out that free, no obligation quote, and let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. Again, check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Today's episode is also proudly sponsored by longtime listener Drew Baker of Aquitas Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc. Drew is a financial advisor who has realized that he gets the most enjoyment out of working with like-minded clients and has built his business working with many people who share his same passion for Walt Disney World. Drew does retirement planning and investment management and conducts many meetings over the phone or Skype for those who aren't local to his Fort Wayne or Indianapolis, Indiana offices. Drew and his staff aim to bring the Disney difference in service into his business and how he treats his clients. Looking for someone to give you a free second set of eyes on your financial picture? Then support the folks who support us and call Drew Baker at 260-271-1050. Email him at drew.baker@ampf.com or look him up online at ameriprise advisors.com/drew.baker. Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1071 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Friday to you. Hopefully you had a great week. You got a lot done. It was very, very productive for you. And now it's time to kick back, listen to the show, and get ready for an amazing weekend. Lots of college football, lots of fun to be had, I'm sure, around the country and around the world. So wherever you're tuned in, we appreciate you taking the time and let's kick it off right now. So joining me today from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, the star of today's show. She's also from the Mouse for Less. We have Ricky. What's up, Ricky?
Weekend at home. Who knew?
So excited or disappointed?
No, I'm excited because I haven't really slept in probably a good, 6 weeks. So I'm excited to sleep in past 8:30. I probably won't, but I'm excited to attempt to give it a try.
And that's well said from you. I mean, you are the one of us three that really likes to get that sleeping in.
Yes, exactly. So we'll see what happens.
All right. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. Pam, are you sleeping in this weekend?
Till 8:30. I haven't seen an 8:30 wake up time in many, many years. I will just I would love that. I mean, that would be awesome, but
this is what happens when you don't have kids. See? Yeah. This is why I don't have any yet.
Mine's 21, so it's not like she runs down the stairs and she's like, "Mom, wake up and make me whatever."
I mean, that's don't lie. Hannah still does that.
Okay, she does. We do still make her dinner or her breakfast every morning.
Something's wrong with this picture all around. I mean, all
it's
around.
Absolutely true. But anyways, so yeah, we do. All right. Oh, whatever. All so right. Yeah, there's a little, another little glimpse, albeit disturbing, into our lives. It is.
People know us way too well.
It's they scary. Really do. It's very scary. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to send a shout out to my great friend and co-agent over at the Magic for Less, Jeanette. She definitely takes care of my guests when I'm down having fun at Walt Disney World or out on a cruise. She is just an amazing agent over the Magic for Less. But I want to offer some apologies, ahead of time because Mizzou is playing Delaware State this weekend, which I don't even know what their mascot is. I don't even know if it's a junior college or if it's a vocational school. I don't know. It sounds like a very small school. It's family weekend. We lost to Georgia by 1 point on the last drive of the game last Saturday night. So I can only imagine that this one is not going to be pretty. So I'm sorry, Jeanette, on behalf of all the Mizzou fans. It's going to be just a... Now, I say that, we're going to lose. I should not have said that.
Exactly.
I'm going to edit this back out. I know. Yeah, it's going to be the upset of the year. I know. Because I tweeted a picture of a sad Georgia fan when we were winning. And Pam says, we're going to lose. And I was, oh, she was so right. I hate when that happens. So Georgia fans, yeah, you won. I know. And Uga was even there. So anyway, let's don't talk football. Let's talk about Ricky. That's what Ricky likes to talk about. She likes to talk about Ricky. And we were talking on Wednesday about this good fortune. You know, talk about, you know, the sun shining on your side of the street. I mean, Ricky is living the good life. Been to Alani in the last month. And then, you know, I get a text from her earlier this week saying, it said something like, you'll never guess, or what did you, what? I can't look at my phone right now. What did it say?
It was a picture of me at the Poly.
No, and there was some, said, there wasn't even the picture.
I had an offer I couldn't refuse.
I didn't even see the picture. I just I've had an offer I couldn't refuse, and I'm like, okay, what's that all about?
You know what was hysterical about this, that when you texted us, Ricky, the night before... I was setting up my iPhone 7 and I was looking at all my Find My Friends apps, and I saw that you were partway between your house and Disney, and I'm like, hey, I didn't know she was going there this weekend.
So
and
Pam was stalking me.
No, I really wasn't. I was just trying to see if my Find My Friends app was even working or what during all that. Yes, yeah, so I actually stalk everyone that I'm friends with on the Find My Friends app all the time.
Clearly, Pam was stalking me, so that's fine. Yeah. That's fine. That's all good.
Actually, Jay's at the grocery store right now, but I'm not stalking him. No, just kidding.
No.
This is what we do.
We never stalk our friends. Never.
So, Ricky, tell us the circumstances of this trip, because we want to dive into a preview of Food & Wine, which we weren't expecting to get a kind of a firsthand report this early in the season, but you were there. So how did this come about?
Well, you all know our lovely BOGP lizard friend, Florence. Florence had asked if I would like to... stay with her at the Poly opening weekend of Food & Wine. And I knew that it would be good for, you know, getting content for the Mouse for Less. So yeah. I was like...
And the podcast, but go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was mostly thinking the Mouse for Less. I didn't care about you, Mike. I was caring about Pam. I don't care about you.
Aww,
yeah, I'm mean. It's fine. It's fine. Yeah, I love you, Pam. So I was like, well... I can do this and get content and pictures and all this jazz. And so I said, I've been out of town, but okay, so why not? Yeah, so I made the decision, because who can pass up the Poly, right? I mean, that's, yeah. I mean, seriously, you can't pass up an opportunity to stay at the Poly. So... I literally left work on Friday and drove straight down to Florida. And, you know, of course, got stuck in lovely Atlanta traffic, as one does. And made it down there in pretty good time. I got there at about, I want to say, like 11:45 or something like that. So not too shabby. And got to experience the Polynesian for the first time ever as a guest, which was pretty awesome, I have to say.
So give us, Florence is DVC, correct?
Correct. Yes. So, she was in a studio and, it was very, very nice. So having been to Alani, literally that same week.
Something's wrong with this. I can't believe it.
I mean, literally in the same week I had visited real Hawaii and fake Hawaii. So, you know, it had a very similar feel, but very different as well. I feel like the Polynesian is a little warmer in the color palette that they've chosen, which does appeal to me a little bit better. Not to say that the rooms are not gorgeous at Alani. They are, but I'm more of a, you know, orange and red type person, and Alani, they have, you know, a lot of darker woods and blues and stuff like that. So it was really nice. They had I got to sleep on the fold-out bed that's on by the TV, you know, that little twin bed, and I can say that I did fit on it. I fit on it just fine. I'm 5'1", so anybody who's curious, a 5'1" person can fit on that bed.
Hannah slept on it too.
Yes.
And she's taller than you. I mean,
a little bit. Not by
not
much.
Rubbing it in your hair.
No, face. I know. Everybody rubs it. Everybody's taller than me. It's fine.
But
it's
she is taller than you.
So, I slept fine, except for the fact that for some reason I could not get my feet warm, and I don't know if it was because I didn't have Brian next to me or what, but like my feet froze. Oh my God. I even had to borrow socks from my brother, and they still didn't work. So I was my feet were a little cold.
Bad right now. Yeah, I'm sad. Go ahead.
I know. I'm sad for you. You know, had cold feet. It's fine. So the room also has, I believe, a couch that folds out as well. I didn't sleep on that because, you know, I fit on the little bed, but, you know, it was fine. It was really nice. Now, what was different about this one versus staying at the Grand Floridian, totally rubbing it in, is that this one has two bathrooms in the fact that there is the shower and a sink in one. And then the shower, sink, and toilet in the other, which is different from the Grand Floridian, which has the shower in one, and then the sink is in another little alcove, and then there's a shower and toilet in another one. So I think it was a little bit better having the two sinks in each bathroom, because it was always difficult, you know, if, you know, somebody was getting ready in the morning or whatnot, you couldn't necessarily be in that middle alcove area sometimes, so... I did enjoy the layout of the Polynesian a little bit better. So, I really enjoyed, you know, the Polynesian, I have to say. I went and sat out in the hot tub on, you know, Sunday afternoon. Granted, it was hot, so I just stuck my feet in, and that was nice. And the pool area is gorgeous over there now that they've done everything. They have a quiet pool area over by the DVC, and that's just the pool. You know, they also have a pool bar and snack stand and stuff like that over there. And they have some, what are those? Oh my gosh, I'm blanking. The pavilions, what are those things called? Oh my gosh. Where people can go and have like private...
Cabanas? Like,
Cabanas, that's the word you're right.
Okay. We're playing Words of Friends.
You can't reserve them.
Got it. Okay, so you can't reserve them there. Okay. Uh-huh. Oh, okay. Because you can reserve them in Aulani, because I saw people were reserving them there.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a big thing, too, in Aulani, I think. So, there's the quiet pool with that, and then they have the main feature pool, which has, you know, a water slide and have, like, a volcano area or rock work. I don't know if it's a volcano anymore. And then they have a kids' play area with, you know, all the water spouts and pop jets and, you know, everything like that and going on. And the hot tub was really cool, too, because it was just like the one in Aulani, which is, it goes right up to the edge, you know, the
infinity that pool. Infinity. Yeah.
Thank you. I cannot think of words today.
Okay.
Apparently.
Sorry, I don't even know what that is. I just know like what the pool looks like, a pop century, but go ahead. I've been to Aulani.
Of course.
Your
of course. So, my infinity pool,
I'm just
you know,
kidding.
If you go see ahead. Right over there's nothing.
I know. I know what it is. Go ahead. I'm just giving you a hard time.
I make sure, you know, I mean, you know, you never know.
Us just, you know, blue collar folks.
Of
down
course.
Here,
of course. So anyway, it was really nice to get to experience the hot tub and see the pool area and stuff like that. And I, you know, I didn't swim in it cause, I only had literally like, you know, 36 plus hours, but, I did make sure I had time to put my feet in the hot tub. So, wow. But it was a great, great resort. I really enjoyed it. And I think that they did a really nice job with the DVC, area that I saw at the Polynesian, you know, no villa for me, you know, none of those
bungalows.
Yeah, exactly. But I
gotta send a public service announcement before we get to all the stuff you did in the parks. Florence, if you give her another trip like this, I mean seriously, Grand Floridian and Pond, I'll never hear the end of this ever. So if you're like, hey, we're over at you know, Bay Lake Tower, you know, hey Ricky, come on down.
The fact that I haven't stayed at the Contemporary yet. So.
That's what I was thinking. No, I'm like, no, we can't do the trifecta. So anyway, let's get to, you know, Food and Wine was kicking off, and I know we had a lot of friends down there. You know, tons of listeners were there this weekend, kind of all got together. Basically the indie crew that was at the Indie Disney meet, and a lot of them got together, had some accommodations there. So I'm sure you saw everybody, and what was it like hanging out in the parks?
It was so much fun. We had such a great time. The one thing that is kind of special that we did is we all Disney bounded. It was set up ahead of time that we were going to be the characters from Big Hero 6. So we all had to, you know, make sure we had our costumes for Disney Bounding. I was Callahan's daughter, which is, you know, she's the one that's in space, because they didn't know if I was going to make it. So, you know, because I didn't know how jet lag was going to hit me, and I was kind of playing things a little bit by ear. But you know, I was going to be Callahan's daughter. And so I had, like, I didn't want to wear a spacesuit or anything like that, because, you know, I was like, what can I wear?
You know, you should have got, you hooked me up. I have lots of flight suits from space camp. I know.
They're so blue. I wore, you know, just all white, that kind of thing. And then, you know, we had Tadashi, and we had, you know, Hero, and we also had a Baymax, and we had just everybody, you know, Honey Lemon. And it was so much fun. You know, each one of us took our part, and we really, you know, played it up as best we could, you know, just with the Disney Bounding thing. And when we met Baymax, oh my goodness, you can tell that Baymax was so touched that we dressed up as characters from his movie. He just absolutely, like, gave us extra long hugs. And oh my gosh, when Teresa, who was Tadashi, who is, you know, of course, the brother, and who, spoiler alert, he dies. So, you know, he's the one who created things.
Why? What are you doing? Wait, no, doesn't Baymax die?
Okay.
The big white guy?
Tadashi supposedly dies. Let's just say that.
Okay. So supposedly dies. Well, you know, whatever.
Right, great. Now I got to put a spoiler alert on the show. Go ahead.
Sorry. If you haven't seen Big Hero 6 by this time, I thank you. Yeah. So anyway, but he gave Teresa just this extra long hug, and she literally, like, started kind of tearing up because it was just so emotional. You know, like, we were all, like, kind of tearing up, like, oh, my God.
Something wrong with you guys.
There is something wrong with us. It's fine. It's fine. We're whatever. So, anyway, the picture was priceless, and I posted it in the Facebook group. So, if you haven't seen that, go look over there. But that was the crew who all went around and hung out together. So,
did Baymax do that, like, finger thing, the boo-doo-boo-loo thing like that?
He did. He did it with Aaron, who was Hero. So I thought that was pretty awesome. So it was really cool. We had a good time with that.
I did see that movie once. I don't know who anybody is. Like, the names, I don't remember. I just know Baymax is the big white guy, like the Safe Huff Marshmallow Man guy, right?
Correct.
And Hero's the brother that made him?
Tadashi.
See, I don't know. Anyway, well, okay. You know what? Food and Wine's in the title here, and that's what people want to know about.
Really?
So, yeah, this meet and greet was awesome. Everybody was, you know, you're bounding, you're dressing, your feet are cold, you're the Polynesian. Okay, that's done.
People tell us are about here, the really. They just really don't care about any of this. They
let's
want
get to the, yeah, the, you know, let's get to the brass tacks here. What are we talking about? What was good?
Exactly. So, you know, I have to say, most everything that I had was quite delicious this time. And I sampled quite a bit this year at the Food and Wine Festival.
Oh, hang on. I'm sorry. I got to cut you off. Facebook Phil was Baymax? I know.
Yes. Phil was Baymax.
That's awesome. Yes. I just had to cut you up. Okay, go back. I just can't picture Phil's Baymax, but go ahead. I'm going to try to picture it.
Well, I mean, he didn't have, like, Baymax's eyes or anything, but he did, you know, he did dress as Baymax. So anyway, he dressed in white too. So I couldn't stand near Phil because we looked like we were both the same. So
that's so awesome. I love Phil. He was
Baymax. We all had pins that they made out of Shrinky Dinks, by the way, for those of you.
Oh, yes.
Who
I love Shrinky Dinks. They made,
like, Shrinky Dink pins for all of us to wear that indicated which character we were. So.
Okay, I'm sorry to cut you off, and I'm sorry, listeners. I know it's Friday, and I'm a little loopy. So go ahead, Ricky. You know, tell us about the food and wine.
It's fine. You're fine. So this year, there are a ton of different countries. I think there's like 30 or so. And, you know, a lot of the things are regular things that have come again and again. And of course, there are a lot of great new things as well. I will say that the one thing I noticed just in doing the menus for the Mouse for Less, which if you'd like to see what things are, the whole list of everything that you can get at the Food and Wine Festival, go check out the Mouse for Less, because
there's
lots
of photos.
Lots of photos, and every item on that Food and Wine Festival is listed, and it's listed with pricing. I'm still working on that with just a few other things, you know, a few additional things that I didn't have, but almost all the pricing is there. All the items are definitely there. So go check out everything that you want to dine on and plan on for this year's Food and Wine Festival. The first thing that I stopped for was the chocolate almond nitro dish. This is now, it was at the Chew last year, and now this year it is at the Chocolate Studio. And you know, I hate to start with a miss, but the chocolate dish itself was really good. But it was really small this time. And I don't know if that was because of the fact that it was Saturday and it was, you know, opening weekend of the festival and they're just getting their bearings of what size they should give people. Because this is something that's like handmade. You know, it doesn't have like a traditional size as most other things do at Food and Wine Festival does. So that was like the only like big miss on the whole festival. And that was just because of the size that they gave us. The dish itself was quite delicious. So, and it's cold and creamy and very nicely chocolatey. And it's like a mousse that's like frozen in liquid nitrogen. So, I really liked it from last year. So I'm hoping that it was just a fluke, and I'll get it again. But yeah, just kind of know that it was kind of small when I got it. So
now where's this chocolate stand located?
Oh, it is located. So there are some, festival marketplace booths that are now located in the Future World section of the park. And so this is one of those that is in the Future World section. It's not like really far, you know, really close up in Future World. It's in that pathway as you're walking back to World Showcase. So that's where a lot of these, newer Future World booths are. So if that's what you're looking for those there, that's where you're going to find those. But I think it's really, you know, nice that it opens up a little bit more options for them to have more food booths. And B, these areas are, so, I have to tell you, they're so well themed, because they have a little bit of extra room that they can have like beautiful settings and pergolas. And I mean, it's a gorgeous, gorgeous environment. They have, decorations and everything. I mean, it's absolutely beautiful what they do in these areas that are over by, the walkways. So, you know, they're great places to spend some time, I have to say. So that's kind of nice. I really enjoyed, it's been a while since I've, and I know it's kind of heresy because, you know, it's one of the favorite dishes for many people, but the Le Cellier Filet this year, I haven't had it in a while, and I got that. I thought it was really good. I like my meat medium rare. I like steak medium rare, so it's more like medium well, to well. But I thought it was really good this year. I thought the size was actually pretty decent, all things considered, given that it's Food and Wine Festival. And I love the truffle sauce on top. And I even ate mushrooms, which I don't usually do.
Wow.
Because they're mushrooms.
Oh, you know, you stay at Alani and Polynesian, you're just got to eat some fancy stuff.
I know, right? I definitely have to go. Yes,
mushrooms.
That's exactly it, yeah.
Yes, yes. So I had the mushrooms and they were quite fine. You know, if you cover mushrooms in enough sauce, I guess I'm okay with eating it. That's kind of what I figured out. So we also stopped at the Ireland booth. And of course, you have the fisherman's pie.
Oh, I love that stuff.
Gosh, it's so good. Oh, it's so yummy. But, you know, lately I noticed, of course, that they're not putting in quite as much, you know, seafood in there as they used to. Of course, that's to be expected. You know, they change the dish a little bit each year. But it's still so good, man. I don't even care. I don't care. It's so yummy. But I also had it's like a lava cake, but they call it chocolate pudding, which it's like a hard, firm set. It's kind of like it's not a mousse, but it's not a cake. It's very creamy, decadent, and they have like a sauce on top of it, which is so incredibly good. That to me, that was one of my favorite things that I had the whole entire festival. Just because, I mean, you have to really like chocolate. This is, you know how I love drinking chocolate?
Yep.
Like, you guys know how I talk about drinking chocolate, and it's like one of my favorite things in the world. This is like firmed up drinking chocolate to me. Like, it's that good. It's so delicious. And then I also, so I don't drink a lot, okay? I really don't. But Julie had gotten and I'm trying to find exactly what it's called. It's the Twinings Pumpkin Chai Tea Frozen cocktail with caramel vodka. So she said I could try some of it because it sounded good. I really like pumpkin chai tea. And I vodka is about the only alcohol that I will drink.
You drink vodka? Are you kidding me?
Not like hardcore. It's not like
I'm like, Ricky, y'all don't even know you.
In the afternoon. Just a shot or two. That's it.
Remember
not like
back,
I'm doing shots in the middle of the afternoon.
Remember a month ago when she went, I mean, like staying at Pop Century was too much. You know, she couldn't even get on property before she went to all these other exotic places. And now she's drinking vodka. I don't even know you, Ricky.
But I mean, you know, sometimes when I'm hanging out here at home and I want to, you know, have a drink, I get iced coffee, the kind that they sell in the store, you know, that is in the, like, the orange juice jug or whatever. And I have a birthday cake vodka, and I'll pour a splash of birthday cake vodka in the mocha iced coffee. It's quite delicious.
Wow.
I'm serious. It's really good.
The official drink of the Redneck Ocean. Go ahead. Bro. Keep going. Keep going.
Absolutely. Man, that sounds really good right now.
Go ahead. See, you got a problem.
It is Friday. Come on.
That's it.
So anyway, but this, I have to say, it was really good. And I'm probably, when we're there in November, probably going back for it because that's how good it was. So, and again, I don't drink a lot. So for me to say these words, it was really good. So I'm going to say you should probably get that. So
I think you got a problem. You're worried about it 2 months from now, but go ahead. Keep going. What else do we have?
I may have a problem. It's okay.
No, go ahead.
It's all good. Okay. So then I went and got the pot stickers from China, and these are chicken pot stickers. And again, I really, really like the pot stickers. I thought they had a lot of meat in them. They were quite meaty. And I also thought that the sauce to dip them in was really good. Of course, it's kind of hard to dip them in a sauce that's like spread out all over the plate. So, you know, that makes it a little more difficult. But I really like these. Now, again, this year, it seems like they went down a little bit in size. They seemed bigger than last year, but there were only two on the plate. And I think last year there was three. But I think they were smaller last year, too. So, you know, your mileage may vary, I guess I should say. But again, I thought it was really, really good. Now, a lot of you guys know I have become obsessed with butter chicken ever since I learned about it at Sanaa and that I love it. And so, of course, when I saw that the Africa booth had butter chicken, I knew I had to go there. So I think that I liked it. It was a little spicier than the butter chicken that they have at Sanaa, but that could just be me being crazy. But, you know, I think that it is a really good... If you've never had it before and you're worried that you may not like it and you don't want to make, you know, the trip over to Sanaa and pay for, you know, the butter chicken there, grab it here because it gives you just enough taste of kind of what to expect with butter chicken. And again, it was really good. They gave you a slice of naan bread with it. So I highly, highly suggest that if you're ever curious about that, go get it there.
Let me ask you this, though, because you mentioned that you put the prices over at the Mouse for Less with the items.
Yes.
But what is the average price? I mean, you had the, you know, the Le Cellier steak. You had, you know, the butter chicken, the pot stickers. What are we talking for one of these entrees?
So I'm noticing that the steak is kind of an anomaly because it's steak. And they also have the lobster roll at...
those are good.
Oh, and man. I think it's much better this year because it's not as... It's not as mayonnaise-y. It's very much like pieces of lobster on a roll with butter. Like that's perfect. So I'm going to have to get that next time too. Those dishes are about $7 and up, you know, just around there. Most of the meat dishes, I missed that one. I missed a price on that one. Most of the meat dishes are around the $5 range, $4.50 to $5.50 or so. And then the desserts are a little less. They range anywhere from like $3 to $4 or so. So not too bad. So.
That's not too bad. Yeah. I mean, because the thing is, you know, I mean, you're going to expect, you know, those premium items to be that, you know, I think that's actually a fair price, you know, for that. And especially, you know, the other things, I mean, $4 or $5, that's no big deal.
Now, if you're looking for alcohol, the alcohol, of course, is a little more. The drinks that aren't alcoholic, I think, range in the, you know, $5 and $6 range. The ones that are alcoholic, I think they go anywhere from like around $8 or so, all the way up to like $11 or so. So just know and that's about what you're going to pay for alcoholic beverages. So
it's like a beer at the ballpark.
Yeah, except for it's a lot smaller than a beer at the ballpark.
Exactly. So. I mean, it's the prices you're paying. All right, so let me ask you this too. We can get back to maybe a couple more of your items that you sample. But you were there opening weekend, and we used to always have podcast events on that opening weekend back when they had the Tower of Terror 10 miler. That was always the first weekend of Food and Wine. It's a nut house. I mean, because I would tend to go on that Thursday if I could get in the afternoon, and then try to stay away as much as I could Friday and Saturday nights. What was your experience first weekend of Food and Wine? Was it crazy?
You know, yes and no. I saw the crowds in World Showcase were very heavy overall. You know, there were a ton of people walking around, milling around, eating, you know, whatever. I didn't think that the lines were terrible. I thought that they were pretty manageable. I mean, yes, they were long. The only line, you know, as the night wore on and you got closer and closer to the evening and illuminations, the lines started building from there. As a matter of fact, I was going to stop at the Brazil booth and get the delicious pork belly that I was so looking forward to trying again this year. But the line was just prohibitive. I was like, no. It went because the booth is kind of set back in the pavilion, like the area where it is. And then there was a pathway that led to the booth itself to where you order. And the pathway is it's pretty decently lengthwise. And it went all the way down to the promenade of World Showcase. So I said, no, thank you. There had to have been at least 20 to 25 people in that line. And I was like, no, I'm not going to get there. So the booths that tend to be more popular, so like Canada or, you know, the France booth, those ones, they tend to have two lines. So this is a really good tip. At those really, really popular ones that you know are super, super busy all the time, check to see if they have a second line. You know, when I was in line for the hops and barley booth, which is in America, they were kind of, you know, reminding people, hey, there's a second line behind us, because the way the booth is set up, everybody piles up to that first window, and they don't realize that there's a second window around the back. So, you know, that's something that you really want to look for, is to see if a line is just really, really long, see if they have a second line for that booth.
Let me ask you this too. Okay, so it was the first weekend. I know a lot of people say, you know, and you even kind of mentioned it earlier in the show, that, you know, trying to find your way for the festival first couple of days, you know, getting everything rolling. But they, you know, they do the Food and Wine Festival every year, and it gets longer every year. Mm-hmm. Did it seem like they knew what was going on? I mean, because I've been down there actually a couple of years ago, and it just seemed like the first weekend, or this a few years ago, but it did kind of seem like it was the first time they'd ever done this. You know, people were kind of confused and they weren't making the right amount of food. You know, people were waiting. I mean, did it seem like everything was moving smoothly when you were there, or was it still, you know, a work in progress?
No, I absolutely thought everything was moving pretty smooth. They started the festival on Wednesday of this year. I think that really helped a lot with, you know, kind of getting the kinks out for the weekend, because as you know, the locals come in droves on the weekend, especially for opening weekend, because it's their first opportunity to get back to Food and Wine Festival, which is such a popular event for locals too. So I really think that they had the opportunity to work out some of those major kinks ahead of time. Like I said, the only thing that I noticed was the size of that one chocolate dish that, you know, Florence had said that she had been there earlier in the week and she had gotten it, and it was much bigger when she had gotten it. I mean, much, much bigger. And then when she got it that day on Saturday, she looked at it and she even said to the cast member, and of course they didn't say anything, but she said it was much bigger earlier this week, you know. So I do think they were kind of figuring out their, you know, sizing and stuff like that earlier in the week, and I think that they're probably now getting to what the correct portion size is for the festival, for how much they have, you know, how many people they're expecting to be in the park that day and that kind of thing. So I think they're doing better with it. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I think that's, you know, because when we first started going, they actually had a preview day.
Yeah, they did.
On
that
Thursday.
Was Thursday. That was preview day. Yep.
So I think that basically what they decided to do is just incorporate the essentially preview day into the rest of the festival to, you know, make it longer, have it be the longest festival ever, you know, that kind of thing. So they can tout it that way.
That's a good point. That's a good point. So, you know, as we wrap the show here, so any, you know, you've mentioned a lot of these great items, some hits, some misses. You know, what advice can you give people? Anything else that you found or any strategies that worked out well for you? Because we want to make sure everybody has a successful trip down to Food and Wine if you're going this year.
Yeah, so my biggest strategy is if you get to the park at, you know, at Food and Wine Festival opening, which is 11 o'clock, take the boat all the way across. So don't start at those first booths because they're just going to back up so much. And of course, then you're going with the crowd. You're traveling with the crowd around. So I would start in the back. And when I did that, I actually did that last year. And it worked out so well. Actually, the Brazil booth was the one that I started with. And there was no line whatsoever. I walked right up and got my my food and you know, was able to go around World Showcase that way. And then, of course, once I got back to the front of the park where every, you know, yes, it was crowded, but at least then I wasn't going with the crowd. Does that make sense?
Yeah, like, because if you're with them, you're with them the rest of the day.
You're with them the rest of the way. Exactly. At least this way you were able to sample stuff without having to wait in huge long waits. So that's my big suggestion. And then the one thing that I didn't know that was coming back was the fact that you know, they have the Chase Lounge. Of course, I knew that was coming back. And if you are going to Food and Wine Festival and you have a Chase credit card, take advantage of the lounge, which is at the America Adventure Pavilion. It's upstairs on the third floor, and it's a great place to go cool off and charge your cell phones, relax a little bit. You can grab a drink. They have soda fountains there.
They have those freestyle machines. Oh, exactly. I hate those things. Those things take forever to make one soda if you get an 8-year-old in front of
you. This is very true, yes. But they do have them for guests to enjoy. But I have to tell you, like, the Food and Wine Festival, I mean, especially these first few months, like the first few weeks, it's going to be really hot. I mean, we were dripping. It was so flipping hot while we were there. And of course you're walking around World Showcase, which is of course a concrete jungle. So, it's really great to go to the Chase Lounge and kind of cool off and relax a little bit because you're going to need it. But the one thing that I didn't know that was returning this year with the Chase Lounge was if you go on Friday or Saturday nights, you can get a wristband, and they're only available for a limited time. So, you know, and once they run out, they run out. But you can get a wristband for a private viewing area for Illuminations.
Really? So, Where's that?
I walked past it. It is in Italy. So, yeah. So, but the wristband, you have to go up to the Chase Lounge to get it. But the viewing location is in Italy, so
it can't change if there's a special event there.
Yeah.
So sometimes I've heard that at least last year they moved it, or could be the year before. So, anyways, I mean, just, you know, if someone had their wedding planned there,
right? They're not gonna be like, oh, well, you can't do it here.
You gotta have your wedding reception behind all these people with wristbands.
Yeah. Exactly. Too bad for you.
Yes. Too bad.
But again, it's only on Friday and Saturday nights, so just keep that in mind that you're not going to get to do it the rest of the week, you know. But it's kind of a nice little perk if, you know, you have a Chase card and you want a sweet spot to see Illuminations from. So.
Good stuff. Well, Pam, real quick before we get out of here, anything that you've been seeing on social media that has really piqued your interest unique to this year's festival? Anything exciting to you?
I think one of the things that I always like about this is they always bring back, well, almost always bring back some of everyone's favorites.
Yeah.
I think Sugar Ray? No, just go ahead. I was just joking.
But no, like, it's always nice to see, like, people love the filet at Le Cellier. It's not my favorite, I will say, but I know that people love it. And it comes back, and the lamb from Australia is there, and then the waffles from Belgium. I mean, just stuff like that. I really appreciate that. But then they also really do a good job of bringing in new and interesting looking food, too. And I think that they've, you know, I've mentioned this in past years, but I'll say it again, that I'm so happy to see the expansion of their beer selection really being embraced by the Food and Wine Festival. It really should be Food and Wine and Beer, or maybe the Food and Drink Festival.
Well, they have a whole craft beer section in the Odyssey. So, A, if you've never been over the Odyssey, hello, this is your opportunity to go see what it was like. But B, you know, they have a lot of great selection of beers over there too. So
they really do. And it's nice to see, and they change that, and they actually try to incorporate some of the local Florida beers. And there are some great craft brewing companies in Florida. I love to always see those make an appearance there. So there's just some great things about it. And I think if nothing else, it really gives you an opportunity to go ahead and try some of these dishes or some unusual food without a large outlay of money. And I think that's one of the largest appeals of Food and Wine Festival, besides the fact that you can snack your way around the world without it costing so much. But this is a great place to try something. If you've never had, for instance, this kind of wine or this beer or this drink or this food, if you've never tried escargot, now is your dying chance. You don't have to do it for $30. You can do it for $5.75. So I mean,
I still think I'm going to pass on the escargot. I can't get over the fact that it's snails.
This is Hannah's favorite part.
I know.
She loves escargot, and she loves even more when they put them in a little croissant. So that's fantastic. But I mean, it's like that at all kinds of different things throughout the festival, and I think that's why it's just so popular. Plus, who doesn't like food and wine? I mean, in general. So you know, it's a great time to go.
Well, it's taking the Epcot idea, especially the World Showcase in particular idea, and just expanding it out exponentially for a couple of months, and ideally too, that's during the best time of the year as far as weather. Now, like Ricky said, it's hot at the beginning, and especially if you pick something up that's spicy, I mean, it's like a double whammy walking around World Showcase eating something hot.
We're really hot, like, you know, that fisherman's pie, that's blistering hot when you get it. It's really hard to eat that in the middle of the afternoon when you're standing under the blistering sun. So, you know, that's
more hard. Of like a November type festival dish.
Yes, it is.
The ice cream, the frozen nitro ice cream
that
stuff.
That was perfect.
That's better.
I could have probably eaten about 20 of those at that time and just been happy as a clam. So
that's it. All right. Well, Ricky, thanks. Well, you know, I got to, you know, definitely give you a huge kudos for taking one for the team.
I know.
Nobody wanted to go down.
Yeah. I'm such a trooper.
Just for our listeners, man, you did not want to leave the house, but you went down, stayed at the Polynesian, and went to the Food and Wine Festival.
I did it for you guys.
He's a giver.
Yeah, I am. Yes.
As they say, the struggle is real for
yes,
you.
Yes, it is.
All right, today's show. Oh, you're killing me, Ricky. I just want to knock you in the head. Go on. So you've gone to a lot of the Polynesian in a month.
In 1 week. That's, in 1 week.
Something's wrong. Anyway.
I'm not rubbing it in at all.
Oh, well. All right, let's get out of here. So today's show brought to you by the great folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. Hey, it's not too late to get down to the 2016 Food and Wine Festival. There are still rooms and great packages out there. So drop by themagicforless.com today. Fill out that free no obligation quote. And you know what? If you don't think it's in the schedule for this year, it's not even too early to book the 2017 festival. You know, we can book all the way through 2017, get it on the books. And, you know, the best way to get through the ease of not making this year's Food and Wine Festival is knowing for sure that you're going in 2017. So just drop by themagicforless.com, free service for all the guests, and you're going to get a great agent who's going to take care of you just as if it were their own trip. So check them out today. Fill out that free no obligation quote over at themagicforless.com. Today's show is also proudly sponsored by longtime listener Drew Baker of Aquitas Financial Group, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc. If you're looking for someone to give you a free second set of eyes on your financial picture, then support the folks who support us and call Drew Baker. He's at 260-271-1050. Email him at drew.baker@ampf.com or look him up online at ameripriseadvisors.com/drew.baker. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at Be Our Guest Mike. And we have a great Facebook group over at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Come on over today. We'd love to talk to you this weekend. Also, when you're missing Walt Disney World, great Walt Disney World in-park audio and music for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, right there at magicalmouseradio.com. And don't forget, speaking of food and wine, and even more stuff to eat, and I'm talking the good stuff, we have our dessert party on Friday night of the Wine and Dine Race Weekend. I believe that is November 4th. Over at the Contemporary, it is a Wishes dessert party. Tickets are now on sale. We have a few left. We have a lot of folks coming to the party, but we still have a few more tickets. So drop by the Facebook group, facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Check out the events right there, and you can buy your tickets with one click. We'd love to see you at our dessert party. All right, so that's going to do it for today. We're going to let you get on with your weekend. Thank you so much for checking in. I know what you're doing. You're going to Zaxby's or going through Chick-fil-A or something, because I'm hungry after this show, and I know you probably are too. So we hope that you have a great weekend. For Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike, wishing you an awesome weekend. Whatever you do, stay safe, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.